In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So most of you know, because I'm on Facebook too much, that I went to New York last week. And before I visited New York, I had a substantial misunderstanding of physical space. I would sit in my own house and think, it would be great to have a little more closet space, bigger bathroom. What I needed was not more space, but more perspective. You see, I went to visit my dear friend Ellen, and I had not yet seen her new apartment, 650 square feet. And every inch of that space had a designated purpose. It wasn't cluttered or full of superfluous items. She had it neat and streamlined, and I could touch both sides of the walls in her kitchen if I stood in the middle. Changed my perspective on space, on what I really needed and what was a perception that perhaps my mind, out of boredom or complacency, deemed to be insufficient. Since this is my own personal confession booth this morning, I can take that liberty. It's my last sermon. I went to New York to see Ellen, but also to run away for a few days, to wrap my mind around things that were happening in the world and things happening in my own life. We had an election. It manifested itself into a climate of fear and outrage. And on a more personal note, I was taking stock of some hard choices I've made about my own work and life and ministry. So most of you know this will be my last sermon as your deacon here at St. Anne's. And I was trying to get a bigger perspective about what this new space in my life was going to look like. Sometimes you just need to change your environment for a few days to get a better understanding of where you are in your own life. So I've decided to make some space, to step away from work and ministry and take stock of what I've done and where I want to go from here. Those are all very nice ways of saying I have no idea what I'm doing. But I'm trying to take the space to find out. And if you're like me, this culture and political climate that we now find ourselves in doesn't feel familiar, and it doesn't feel safe, and it doesn't feel good. Just like the gospel reading for today, we've been thrown into a space that's not comfortable, and it challenges our spirits, and yet we can't escape it. We can't look away or pretend it's not there, because the gospel writer puts us all right in the middle of the grand narrative of Christ's life. We all like to talk about Christ's miracles and the parables and the resurrection, but the cross is a hard reality to look at. Can't we just wait until Holy Week to deal with all this? The lectionary says otherwise. We have to face the fact that our God was put on trial, was killed in a brutal manner, and there were people who relished in that moment. Good, get rid of him. He's caused enough trouble. He made our sense of space uncomfortable, and we're tired of it. You see, those that wanted Jesus dead just wanted to feel comfortable in their own world again. He was pushing a narrative that made them question too much, disrupted their way of life. The cross was the way of getting their power back. Luke, the wonderful gospel storyteller, paints this scene for us, filling it with detail and emotion. Christ raised on the cross at the center, two criminals flank either side. Christ pleads for forgiveness are drowned out by the mocking of political leaders and soldiers who cynically call out for him to save himself. Lots are cast for his clothing. He literally has nothing left but a dying body and a scornful engraving above his head, the King of the Jews. Even the criminals give voice to what's happening. One joins in with fear and loathing. Get us out of here. Desperate for one last magic trick, but only if it saves his own neck. And the other criminal is a condemned philosopher who recognizes Christ's innocence in the same way he realizes his own sins. He doesn't ask for his life on earth to be saved, but rather he looks forward and asks to be a part of Christ's narrative. They share the same space next to each other on the cross. But he looks further toward salvation and reconciliation apart from the life he had on earth. The audacity to ask to go with God. But I guess if you're hanging on a cross, audacity is all you've got left. The wise criminal shared a space with God for a brief moment and filled that space with a faithful imagination that there was more to this world than just mistakes and death. The faithful criminal has all the makings of a great artist, taking advantage of a limited amount of space and seeing something in that space that no one else can see. I spent a lot of time last week just staring at art. It is great therapy. At how people have struggled to create and define their world as their mind and their soul sees it. I studied art in college for one main reason. I loved it because it seemed miraculous to me. I have zero artistic skill whatsoever. So every time I see an incredible work of art, it's like a miracle. How the artist creates movement and meaning with only what was empty space. And every part of the work of art, of Picasso's bold lines or Van Gogh's frantic brushstrokes, every piece of that space has been determined, painted or manipulated with purpose. Even the empty space is there for a reason. Van Gogh, the master of divine desperation and frantic creation, spoke about his desire to elevate the human experience, to mingle it with the divine. Van Gogh acknowledged the mistakes and fallibility of such lofty pursuits, but he was insistent that to not at least attempt to create would be the bigger loss, that fear and complacency were bigger sins than mistakes done when pursuing the soul's work. He stated that the fishermen know that the sea is dangerous and the storm terrible, but they've never found these dangers sufficient reason for remaining ashore. Christ always knew the cross was coming. He knew that death was the great bargaining chip for our eternal souls. He walked toward that. Even in moments of fear and doubt, which we know he had, he walked toward the inevitability with the knowledge that he was creating a new world. A world where sin and death no longer had dominion over our fragile lives. That there was a larger narrative that we could all be a part of. Christ the King Sunday, this Sunday, is about looking at Jesus in his weakest and most vulnerable moment. And yet we must look with the artist's eye if we're to see that his dominion is wrapped up in his weakness. Just as our lives, fragile and broken as they are wrapped up in the divine. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. After all, this is not a museum, it's the church. We can't just house pretty pictures of our faith and expect people are just going to show up and be satisfied with that. We have to work a little harder. And like anything else, we have to have our own failures intermixed with our success. We are the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means we're a part of Christ's divinity and Christ's humanity. We're strong in the face of injustice, and sometimes that means we have to be vulnerable. I don't know if you've noticed, but the church is hanging on a cross right now, close to death. Low numbers, bad theology, mockery, and derision surround us. The church as we know it may very well die, just like Christ on the cross. But what will it look like when we rise again? Because like Christ, the church will not remain in the tomb. It will reemerge to stubbornly sow seeds of righteousness in the dirt of the world. We occupy a small space in this world, but look what inspiration can come from such a small canvas. As the church, we must nurture two seemingly unrelated parts of ourselves. We must nurture our strength and our vulnerability. I know you, St. Anne's. I know you'll be out there in the world ringing the bells and clanging the cymbals of freedom and justice. I can sleep well at night knowing that God's righteousness will be proclaimed in this space. But please don't forget to rest in God's sanctuary. fight for justice in the world, but come to this place to be nourished and to be vulnerable and to receive the renewing Spirit of God with one another. This place can be both a beacon and a refuge. So be kind to yourselves. For doing God's work in this world is bruising and thankless at times. But think about that moment when everyone thought all was lost. When that heavy weight of the rock was rolled in front of the tomb where Jesus' fragile and beaten body was laid. Hopelessness and despair hung in the air. A grief heavier than any boulder. And yet days later, light shone through, pierced the hard cracks of darkness, and the world changed. Each and every one of us sitting here has had stones rolled in front of our lives. We've had the feeling that darkness was all around us, but God is a masterful artist and can paint light even on the darkest canvas. You all have been a light for me, and I'm so grateful to have been a part of this place. May you all continue to do the good work of bringing God's light into the dark spaces of the world. May you all continue to use the space you have been given to paint strokes of righteousness and give voice to God's love. Amen.